Well, are you ready for the Word? Amen and amen. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now get into the Word, I pray that you anoint our presence through the Word. Father, that whatever I share will be a blessing through the Word. And Father, we thank you again for the wonderful privilege of being part of the body of Christ in the earth. Father, we could have missed it. We could have eternally be lost. But because someone spoke, we heard and responded, we are now yours. Father, I thank you for the great price that you have paid. And I will not allow it to go in vain. But I will get the best out of everything that you had planned for me. So as the Word is expressed today, Father, may your people be blessed. May they hear it. May it become a revelation to them. And may their outer man not talk them out of it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, if you will, turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This will be the last morning I speak on works, the works of God. And I pray that you get the revelation of it. Many people go their whole walk with God and never get the revelation of what it means to labor for the kingdom of God. In John chapter 5, go to verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And he shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Praise God. Notice the word, shall not come into judgment. There is, however, another judgment spoken of in Scripture called the Great White Throne Judgment. How many of you are familiar with that one? And of course, we know in Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, it speaks that this does not involve the believer, but it is for those who have rejected Christ and for those whose names were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We find this in Revelation 20:13. It says, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Notice, not according to sin, but according to his works. And there are other references of judgment according to the works. That also carries a negative connotation, but we won't cover all those right now. But Paul spoke of false ministers, agents of Satan, who would be judged according to their works, saying, according to 2 Corinthians 11:15, therefore it is of no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Also, Paul recounted a man who had viciously opposed him, saying, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. That's in 2 Timothy 4:14. Notice everything is mentioned according to works. It doesn't say according to sin. It says according to works. Man is very gracious on sin because God paid the price for it. But God does care about what we do in our works. He's very concerned about the issue of our works. Every person, saint and sinner, should realize that their conduct on this earth has eternal consequences. Boy, if I could just get that across to so many precious believers that I know that are doing nothing for the kingdom of God, but everything for their natural outer man. We should be mindful of what we do with our lives or our work on this earth, because it matters to Him. It matters to the Lord. A lot of Christians feel comfortable if they do nothing, if they just receive Him and wait until He comes for the church. That is not the right kind of mind to have. That is not the kind of mind that is being changed or transformed into the kingdom of His dear Son. Paul admonished the Christians in Rome, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and each of us shall give an account of himself to God." That's in Romans chapter 14, 10 and 12. Also to the Corinthians, Paul wrote, "So whether we are here in this body or away from the body, our goal is to please Him." But you don't hear too much talk about pleasing the Lord. "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged." And that's talking about the bema or reward seat. "And we will each receive whatever we deserved for the good," or, and our translators put "evil" in there, but actually in the Greek it's "worthless." "For we will receive a reward for whatever was good or worthless that we have done," notice this, "in our earthly body." That's 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10 out of the New Living Translation. In Revelations 14, 13 we read, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." The Message Bible says in the latter part of this verse, it reads, "Blessed or blessed rest from their hard work. None of what they've done is wasted. God blesses them for it all in the end." So if you have a Message Bible, Sue gave me hers. You will be blessed for that. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 said, "Let us not be ashamed before Him at His coming." So there are going to be believers who will be ashamed before Him at His coming. In 1 John 4, 15 through 17 says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. If love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Boy, isn't that something? It is important to understand how God sees us and how he will interact with us in the future. It is important. You know, a lot of us don't think about this, but eternal rewards and crowns in heaven, the Scripture deals with the rewarding nature of our Heavenly Father. It's just part of His nature to reward. And a lot of people don't understand how important that is. I've actually had several say, "Well, you know, I don't really, you know, really look forward to the issue of rewards all that much. And I don't think God's really interested in that." Really? So he's not really interested. "Well, I know, I guess I should be more mindful of it." Yeah, you should. It would sure help if we got you involved. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaks of the proper way to give charitable gifts. It says to pray and to fast, not for the recognition of the praises of men. And some people do that. I run into them. Not only here, but I've ran into them in my association with many ministers throughout the world. There are some who are just politically driven. And I can't handle that. There's just something about that that makes me gag. I believe you should be where you're at and doing what you're doing because God called you to do it. Now, we all have flesh about us. I know that. But eventually, we're going to have to get the revelation of why we are doing what we're doing. And I guarantee if you're doing it out of your flesh, you get weary and you get worn out and you get tired after a while. How many of you have been there? Got a big laugh out of the back. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, it teaches us that our works don't have to be glamorous or sensational to be appreciated and rewarded by God saying, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. God's not looking in great things, but obedient things, whether they're little or whether they're large. Boy, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it talks about how God set the members in the body of Christ, he gave more glory to those who are the least graceful in the body than those who want the recognition. Another one in Matthew 16, it says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. Works. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Hebrews 6, 10 and 11 says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers, as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faithful and endurance manner. Boy, I'll tell you, that really talks about something that we need to take a hold of. See, we need to bond to these scriptures and understand that working for God is very important. And some believers feel perfectly comfortable with the fact of not being wanted to be seen up front and not wanting to have it and just sitting on the sideline and make sure that they're just there and make sure that they're doing nothing. They feel comfortable with that. Boy, I don't want to enter into heaven that way. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, now notice this, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now you know what this is talking about? This means that a person, number one, wants to please him by having faith, wants to please him. And this same guy also reveals to us very carefully out of this scripture that rewards are very important, especially for those who have diligently sought him. That's a mindset in this scripture. Did you guys get that? Let's go to another one. New Living Testament. When Moses chose obedience to God over the wealth of Egypt, says that he was looking ahead of his great reward. The Message version renders, he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. Anticipating the payoff. Oh, I like that. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverence, fear, or respect of him during your time here as temporary residents. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, New Living Testament. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Revelations 22:12. God's inclination to reward his faithful servant is also seen in the various New Testament references to the crowns that God will bestow. You know, the Bible talks about crowns that will be bestowed upon believers, those who work and labor for him. Paul mentioned an imperishable crown that awaits the faithful spiritual athletes. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Paul was looking at the games, and they knew that they were crowned with their victories at those games, but he saw that God was speaking to him, that they're doing it for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Glory to God. Glory to God. But this is a sermon that gets me excited, but as Paul reflected on his spiritual journey that was coming to an end, he said, now this is what Paul said in the end. He said that there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. On that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Whoa, I'm telling you, when you sit there and say, I'm not really interested in the rewards, man, where are you at with God? How do you really please the Lord? Giving you your doggy baggies? James encouraged believers, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. James 1:12. To the believers in Smyrna who remained faithful in the face of great persecution, Jesus personally promised, I will give you the crown of life. To the church in Philadelphia, Jesus said, keep a tight grip on what you have so no one distracts you and steals your crown. That is out of the Message Bible. God is gracious and keen to reward those who have labored together with him. However, these gracious rewards are not automatically guaranteed. In fact, if we study all of these verses here in context, we will see the indication that potential rewards can be lost. This idea is reinforced in Hebrews 10, 35, 36, which says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform fully and accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. That's out of the Amplified. I want to say something to you. This is brought up all the time. There are so many that are wore out because they're doing everything and nobody else is getting involved. There are many who got involved at the beginning, but they're no longer involved now. They were wore out. Matter of fact, we've got books teaching now that if you're burned out, I'm going to tell you something. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but I have never experienced burned out. Maybe it's because I hadn't got involved enough to get burned out. But anyway, I've really never experienced burnout. And one of the reasons is because I wasn't doing it because of men making it convenient for me. I was doing it because I had a love for God. And he was my rewarder. And I'm not going to allow some people who wore out only because others don't get involved. So what? Don't give up your reward. Big deal. I'm the only one that ever does. Big deal. Because I'm going to tell you, to God, what you're going through is a big deal to Him. And I'm going to tell you something. Paul would not sit there and teach us how to suffer and endure and be patient if we wasn't having to be patient and endure something. What kind of reward would it be? It seemed like everything I do is so easy and so refreshing, and I'm never wore out because everybody's involved and I don't have to exercise patience. Why? Because whenever I ask somebody to do something, nobody else has excuses. They right away get in and get in with me and help me abundantly. They do everything I say and ask. You know what, people? That's living in heaven. That's not living on earth. There, Dean said, everything's right. Here, everything is wrong. In case you hadn't figured that out by now. Now, the purpose of these crowns is not so that we as believers can strut around like peacocks, boasting of their accomplishments. Rather, we see the purpose of these rewards in the examples set by the elders around the throne of God. And when I read this, I wept. Why? They wanted the rewards. Not for personal gain. But it said in Revelations 4:10 and 11, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him. Him whose lives forever and ever, or who lives forever and ever, and casts their thrones before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." So ultimately, everything in the universe, including the rewards we receive in heaven, are designed for the glory of our Creator, not any self-glory. The fire will reveal our works. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 3:10. He says, "I laid the foundation." And it's you have to be careful how you build on that foundation. For no other foundation can anyone lay. It's so sad to see a day in our church age, the age of grace, where people say, "We have to respect other faiths." I respect another faith on this wise, that I would not bring a reproach to them to harm them, but I certainly would not approve of their faith without laying the foundation of Jesus before them. Are you following me, what I'm saying? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. For the work survives that the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builders will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Matter of fact, when you read this, Paul is discussing what kind of work we do, the value of the work we do, the endurance or longevity of the work that we've done, and the loss that occurs if the work is burned up, and the reward that is bestowed if the work survives. What is the criteria of the judgment of our works. Motives. Motives is a criteria for the work that you perform. You know, some people won't even do anything unless I'm involved in it. And I'm around so they can get recognition for it. And then there are some who don't want no recognition at all but God. And I've got chewed out by both. I had a young man come to me and we gave honor and recognition to publicly. And he chewed me out. And I sat and listened. He says, anything I do it as unto the Lord. And I don't want to get my reward here. I want my reward there. I said, yes, sir, I'll never do that again. Thank you. You know, the heart that I have is when I see a lot of people labor for God, and I know they're doing it with the right heart, I feel that I owe them something. You know, I'm just telling you, that's my heart. And so if I reward them openly, it isn't because I want to brag on them in a sense of motivating somebody else to do work. It's just with my heart, it's to recognize their involvement and how much we do appreciate it. Not only me, but you as a church. But I have to respect when they come back and say, I don't want to be known for anything. I just want God to take notice of what I'm doing. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 6:4, he says, your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So I thought that way. Well, that's what I was doing, rewarding them openly. See, you've got to realize that when people do things as unto the Lord, their rewards will be given them very visibly. Because motives matter. I not only found would you be recognized there because of your right motives, but you'll be recognized by people here because you people are not dumb. You know when people are doing it with the right heart and you know when people are doing it politically. I close my case right there. You guys all recognize it. I recognize it. It's funny, the person who's performing it doesn't recognize it. That means he has a character flaw. Tony Cook said this, and I thought this was really great. This leads me to believe that we may be very surprised in heaven when we see the rewards believers receive or don't receive. There may be some who we thought did great things, but if they were motivated by pride, greed, or other ungodly motives, they may forfeit the heavenly rewards that could have been theirs. God sees through the smoke and mirrors and false images that people project. If people are more focused on their PR than on producing genuine fruit, they may be in for a big surprise when they stand before Jesus. I thought that was so good when I was reading it out of Tony Cook's new book called The Book of Works. And there may be others in heaven we never thought much about because their works was primarily behind the scene. Few on earth may have even noticed their labor. They didn't draw attention to themselves, but heaven was keeping secret of their efforts and sacrifice. Maybe they were people who prayed, cleaned the building, or drove a bus to transport kids to Sunday school. But they did what they did with a pure heart to honor God and serve people. You know, matter of fact, if you will turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When I saw this, I got to thinking, well, Lord, now where does this put me? But notice, verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Notice the eye versus the hand. You notice how we take a little extra to do the eye and not the hand? How about the head to the feet? Why did he say the head to the feet? Because Jesus is the head. Yeah. And to the feet, I have no need of you. No, now get this. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpersuadable parts, actually it's unpresentable parts, meaning parts of our body we don't care about, we don't even want to even look at. Women are more critical than guys. Women, they can be so critical of themselves. And some women are so critical of something, and when they tell me what they're critical of, I go, what? Don't even notice it. But notice what he says here. That we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater appeal. What is he saying? He's saying everyone clamors for the pulpit, but nobody really understands the mind of God. He likes the guy that sits in the background and takes all the cleaning or whatever it is that doesn't have any glory to it. And God says that guy shows more honor and has more glory attached to him because he's not doing it to be seen of men. The guy who's doing it to be seen of men, he's got his glory. You know, I have my glory while I'm here. When I get there, I'll be rewarded, but not for the position that I held. You know, that's a problem with a lot of ministers. Their doctrines would change if they realized that the reason they're at the pulpit is because they're the greatest servant of everybody. We have to give up a lot in our life just so that the gospel that we preach you does not bring a reproach. Works matter. Proverbs 20:27, New Living Testament. The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. Proverbs 16:2, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Proverbs 21:2, we justify our actions by appearances. God examines our motives. Jeremiah 17:10, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Hebrews 4:12 says, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and proceeds to say that there is no creature hidden from God's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. Hebrews 4:12-13. All the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts and will give to each one of you according to your works. Revelations 2:23. So motives are very paramount in the kingdom of God because they're the ones that excel your works. Well, Pastor, what if I started out? Well, then why did you quit? Was it people that stopped you? Or was it pity for yourself? Or are your motives of your heart so strong at pleasing him that you continued to do? You know, I have a list in my own memory about people who served me over the years. And I always lift them up before the Lord in my heart and say, Lord, I will never forget these wonderful co-laborers with me. Many of you are alive, and many have gone on to be with the Lord. But you know, at the funeral of a glorious believer going home, and I've witnessed that their life gave no motives for any work. And it grieved me. And so some funerals I don't quote, their works do follow them. But it saddens me that what Jesus told me one time in prayer, and I'll never forget it, I wept and said, Lord, I need more help, I need more workers, I need more co-laborers. He says, you'll always need them. But I want you to focus on those who are laboring for you. And he says, I'll give you a word for them. And he says, that word will hold them for a long time to come. You know, sometimes we get so centered on ourselves, we don't take time to really even admonish those who are laboring faithfully for the Lord. And that you might not even be involved with him. You might not even, you know, have any connection with him. But you recognize that they are good co-workers and co-laborers for the church. Why wouldn't it help you to be quick to sit down and write a little note to them and tell them how much you appreciate the labor that they do for the church? Boy, that would be a shot in a lot of people's arm, especially those who you know must be feeling burned out. But if you're doing it as unto the Lord, you won't get burned out, but it sure helps to have somebody come along and recognize how precious you are to the body. We're always caught up in our little world about what we're doing, and we're always concerned about our little self. But you know something? There's something about a person who takes interest in others around him that they themselves are rewarded openly and not even expecting. And it's because that spirit about them who acknowledged somebody else now fell on them from somebody else. We're too busy looking for people who might have spirits, rather than looking for people who have the right spirit and co-labor and work for the Lord. Look at the one next to you. Look at the one next to you on either side and say, you're important to the body of Christ. And look at that empty seat next to you. Look at the empty seat next to you and say, you should have been here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Laboring for the kingdom of God is a wonderful thing. I know that when I was laboring for the kingdom of God back a few years ago, I hadn't realized I was laboring more out of my flesh than I was my spirit. And boy, Jesus, he don't put up with that. He don't put up with that flesh stuff. I know. I went to him and said, I'm through. I'm doing everything I can. I'm a nice little boy, and my motives are pure, and I can't stand these people you gave me, God. I'm going back into secular work. Goodbye. That's all he said, goodbye. And I said, well, goodbye. You know, I expect God to try and talk me into staying. And finally I said, well, God, there was a whole lot I wanted to say, but I didn't know how to say it, so I just thought it. Couldn't you be a little more gracious than that? Graceful? You know? And God answered me and he says, look, if you don't want to do it, I'll get somebody else who can. You don't want to tell me that. And I found out how to endure and labor beyond that. I repented and I forgave. And I've forgotten. Now I love you all. In spite of you. No. I know you do. Hallelujah. They wear me out with all their questions all the time. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you have to pray, you have to preach these kind of messages for us to labor together. And you know what? I would not want to see you stand before Jesus and you turn to him and say, well, the pastor never covered the issue of rewards. Because I got to give an account what I put in your soul. So when you stand before the Lord and you don't have any rewards, you ain't going to look a butler and say he never preached on rewards. Only the ones that were not here this morning. Also have to say, well, Jesus, I never heard the pastor preach. Well, you know, on, you know, what is this? This is August 16th at noon. Where were you? Oh, I wasn't in church. No. Your book is written on a 24-hour period. You guys know that? 24-hour day. You have to give an account for all the time God had given you for while you were here. Don't tell me time is not valuable. When I was young, I thought I had scads of time. So I got scads of time. Because that wasn't in my thinking. But when you get to be 71 years old, you start counting. One, two, three, four, five. Well, yeah, I'm going to be here for a long time, believe it or not. But some of these younger guys, they're going to be occupying this pulpit a lot more. Because they have a whole lot that God's building in their heart and they're saying. Boy, I love listening to them. To these younger people that get up here and start preaching away, and you know that they got the love of God in their heart. And they're ready to move on with the kingdom of God. I love it. But when I stand before the Lord, I don't want to have to give an account what I didn't preach to you. I want to cover everything. Hallelujah. Yes. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now get ready to close this service. Father, the best way I guess I could explain it to everybody is if you're a young man or woman standing here and have never given your heart and life to Jesus, never said the sinner's prayer. This morning, if the Spirit could speak to you, are you willing to come forward and receive Him? For your life is not only natural, but your life is also eternal. You are the only creature on earth that is committed to eternity. Now, if that eternity is not with Him, then you've thrown your life away for that which is corruptible. But if this morning the Spirit of God can reach in your heart and speak to you and recover you from eternal judgment, would you not consider coming forward, giving your heart and life to Him? And He will work His kingdom into your inner man in such a lovely way that you'll never regret ever holding or withholding or holding back your life to Him. So in a moment, we're going to ask you to step out and come forward. And if you're here and you've given your heart and life to Him, but you've wasted a lot of valuable time, and you'd like the Holy Spirit to redeem a lot of that time, He can do it. For Paul said in the book of Ephesians that if you awake from sleep and arise, He will give you light and redeem your time. And you can come back into full fellowship with Him and begin laboring toward for Him. Whatever that is, it is important. And if you have not had the fullness of the Holy Spirit, please, you need the baptism. You need the Holy Spirit to work with your spiritual mind. It can't work with your intellectual mind. It will not go anywhere. It cannot produce anything. It can only take the Word and allow it to take root in your spiritual mind, the good ground. The Holy Spirit is the only agency that this world needs so they can grow thereby. And if you've been suffering from an illness that you have no business suffering from, would like prayer for healing, we'd be glad to pray with you. So with every head bowed, those of you that I've mentioned, please come forward to the pulpit. We would love to pray with you. Step out and come forward to the pulpit. Hallelujah. Salvation, restoration, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, healing. Don't be ashamed. Come forward. The natural man carries no weight here. The natural man carries no weight here. If he's trying to talk you out of coming, ignore him and come. For he carries no weight here. Hallelujah. Your natural man can confirm nothing, nor can it agree with anything with the kingdom, for it's not considered. But dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the service. We thank You for the laborers that are laboring for Your kingdom. Father, we thank You that it's an opportunity for a change of heart towards them. If the message spoke to them in any manner, shape, or form, and with that, you're dismissed. You're going to have a safe trip home. Amen.